You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and you said what you used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. This week, we chat about SummerSlam, the primetime players, Kelly Kelly, Chavo Guerrero, Wes Briscoe, and much more. My name is David, and I'm joined today by my good friend Alex. Always good to be with you, Alex. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, David, and I look forward to doing this show with you. We took the last week off, and you did your interview with Dory Funk Jr., and I look forward to recording the show with you.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the interview with Dory Funk. If you haven't had a chance to go back and listen to it, please do so. I thought it was really, really fascinating to talk to him. I don't know if you had a chance, Alex, but you know, he was one of the first wrestlers that I really hated when he came to the WWF at the time, and that made me love pro wrestling, so I really owe him a tip of the cap.
Absolutely, and I mean, he had a hand in a lot of wrestling for a long, long time, and he's a true legend in the sport.
By the way, before we jump into the wrestling discussion, are you enjoying the Olympics so far?
You know what? I did want to bring up an Olympic topic real quickly. I was watching the gymnastics last night, and Young Alley won the bronze medal, but they wanted the disputer score. They feel like the judges messed up. David, they had to fill out paperwork. I wanted to see a flag thrown out there. So, but yes, overall, I'm enjoying the Olympics, and I'm looking forward to Sunday's gold medal basketball game for the men's.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too. I have to tell you, though, my wife and I kind of got in a disagreement about this. I thought it was kind of disgraceful that we asked for a you know, whatever that was, like a recount, or they protested it. I thought that didn't show a lot of class. She disagreed. She said that's what Ali deserved. And where do you stand on that?
Well, you know what? I mean, you do have the opportunity. If the judges didn't get it right sometimes, that's why the formal complaint department is there. So I was completely okay with it. And it bummed me out that the Romanian chick lost the bronze medal. But at the end of the day, if she didn't deserve it, she didn't deserve it. So. Yeah.
I guess I would feel better about this if the Hart Foundation would have protested their loss to Strikeforce in 1987. I still don't think that Jim the Anvil Neidhart ever submitted there to the Boston Crab. I'm telling you, they still should be tag team champions to this day.
And every babyface in the NWA would have been able to file a dispute against Ric Flair, because there's always some chicanery going on in those NWA world title matches.
Well, what do you think? Should we get to the wrestling?
Hey, let's ring the bell.
World Wrestling Entertainment. Monday Night Raw is now 3 hours long. Is the experiment working? Has the quality of the program increased with this additional time? Alex, I'm going to start here and say right off the top, I think it has. I think that the 1,000th episode of Raw was really kind of fun with all the people coming back. But I've enjoyed the past couple weeks as well. It gives the matches a little more time to breathe. They get some of the other workers on the show. For me, so far, so good. What about you?
You know what? I don't want to say this too loudly because I'm not a big fan of the three-hour Raws overall, but 1001 had a lot of recaps and a lot of filler. 1002 was honestly per Raw standards. Now, if you're not concerned about building up the fall, as a self-contained Raw show, it was a very good Raw show. I very much enjoyed it. I don't know how well it built up SummerSlam or the rest of the year, but man, the beginning of next year with the Royal Rumble going through WrestleMania, a lot to get excited about. But overall, I think the Raws have improved. I would still like them to go back to 2 hours.
Right, and for now, though, I'm okay because I think we're seeing a little bit more tag team action, you know, trying to develop a storyline around the tag team championship belts. I thought we got a very good Divas match Monday night. I thought Kelly and Eve were given more than the cursory, you know, 15 seconds finish with a roll-up match, and I thought they were fine. I AJ Lee's a very interesting character right now, and because of the expanded time, they're allowed to kind of use her not only in the ring, but you know, backstage. And so for me, so far, it's working. The one thing I'll say, and I want your opinion on this, there's too much Twitter, too much discussion about hashtags, too much discussion about what's trending. Do you disagree or agree with that? Because I'm getting a little tired of that stuff.
You know what, David? I'm under 30, but I still consider myself to be a part of an older generation. It feels like too much to me, but for the people on the online community who are taking part of the discussion, they are taking advantage of it. Something my co-host on the Monday Night Show, the Raw Reaction Show, mm-hmm. we do at AngryMarks.com, he brought up that Vince McMahon went on Bob Costas' show and made a butt of himself. They've been on other mediums and made a butt of themselves. Social media is something they can craft. If they can have a conversation with the fans that are doing the social media, it might be a little bit grating to those not in on the conversation, but for those in on the conversation, it has to be really cool.
Hmm. Well, so a point you just made, though, was that you don't think they necessarily did enough to build SummerSlam this past week. How do you feel about the show that's coming up next weekend now already? I mean, are you not excited? You don't like the Triple H, Brock Lesnar, or just is it the card itself is not rounding out?
You can't get me interested in a match by having your lead babyface steal the lead heel's car and driving around town and vomiting it. That's not going to get me interested in their match. The Brock Lesnar Triple H match, I mean, it's a dream match. I mean, this sounds really interesting, but it seems like creative has kind of gotten in the way of the natural build this match could have had. The Punk Big Show Cena match, it seems like they're doing the standard build of this week I'll beat you up, next week this guy's going to beat you up, and the next week this guy's going to beat you up. It's almost like we're in a holding pattern until next year. And honestly, no, David, I'm not that excited about SummerSlam.
The primetime players are among a handful of new teams the WWE is actually showing on television. Does the tag team division actually have a future, Alex?
You know, it's like Alberto Del Rio, who I brought up in the last segment. Every week he comes out with a new car. And that's what it's like for the primetime players, in my opinion. There's a new car, they're going to play with them for a little bit, then eventually I think they're going to go by the wayside. Hell of a build for the primetime players, though. I mean, in the Olympics, you have to win all these qualifiers and nationals, and some of these races, you have to win races to go to the big race. Not in the WWE. If you're primetime players, you can lose every match until the title match, and then you can win the titles. And what's more, you know, I don't want to compare a gold medal to a WWE tag team title, but seriously, I mean, you should have to win some matches. Am I off, David?
Well, first of all, the tag team title belts are the only things that are uglier than the gold medals from this Olympic symbol, the London 2012, I'm not a fan of, but that's for another day. I think that the primetime players are fun because I like AW. I think he's hilarious, and he's a great talker. I actually liked his ECW show, the Abraham Washington show with Tony Atlas. I'm just glad he's back on TV. My problem, though, with the tag team division, Alex, is they get one segment. So whether it's the primetime players versus Epico and Primo, whoever the match is, that's it for the night. I mean, back in the day, quote-unquote, you had a roster of tag teams. I still don't see that.
I made the comparison, and Jimmy Hart was an incredible manager. But he's almost like in the Jimmy Hart role. I mean, he has this, quote-unquote, megaphone, which is his headset. He gets to yell things, and he got himself into trouble 2 weeks ago. But, I mean, you work with a guy, you tell him what to say, what not to say. You don't want him to seem too restricted out there. Feature the team if you're going to feature it. I mean, I think a lot of fans inherently know that WWE is going to go half in on a lot of these new acts so they don't get fully invested. Primetime players could have been different, but unfortunately right now they're not. And I'm a big supporter of the tag team division. I'm a big supporter of anything that will add uniqueness to your wrestling show, whether it be a women's division, a tag team's division, anything like that.
Do you like the fact that AEW got in trouble last week? I mean, in other words, did he kind of do it on purpose because now we're on the edge of our seat every time he's out there?
Well, what's funny is I thought the joke was really tame and kind of obsolete. I mean, he was in Cleveland or Miami. I can't remember. He could have made a LeBron James joke, which would have been totally topical. You know, but that's a good point, too. Like I said, though, hopefully he doesn't hold back too much. He still is kind of edgy, but not that edgy.
Kelly Kelly returned Monday night after taking some time away from the ring. If the WWE is really serious about the health of their stars, this would seem to be something they should do more often for their entire roster. Alex, I was glad to see her back. I thought she looked refreshed. I thought the crowd was happy to see her. They seemed into her. What responsibility does the WWE have to keep their stars healthy? I mean, not just them, other promotions as well. You know, they have this wellness program, and they're willing to pay for the rehab. But isn't something like the vacation they gave Kelly good preventative maintenance?
Absolutely, I agree with you, and it's something I mean, I've been saying it for a long time. I mean, you have your developmental program. A lot of these guys can go down to developmental and work, and then you can give them completely time off. And it'll make your roster seem fresh, and it'll give other guys an opportunity to run with the ball. I mean, we've seen the same guys on top for many years now, and it's very hard for the Dolph Zigglers and the Mizes to break through to the next level because the guys who are there right now haven't moved out of the way. I mean, we didn't see a renaissance in the WWF in the 90s until Hulk Hogan left the company, and then again in the 2000s until Shawn Michaels left the company. So, I mean, guys have to get out of the way for the new guys to come in.
To add on, I'm okay with wrestlers taking a break sometimes. I don't need to see Kane every single week. I don't need to see Daniel Bryan every single week. Now, I know there's pressure because the roster isn't necessarily that deep that you can have now a three-hour show, you know, with only 10 wrestlers and not having CM Punk and Daniel Bryan on the show. They have to be there, right? It's a live show. They have to be there. But, you know, occasionally it's okay to skip a show. Give them a week off. I'm all right with that.
Absolutely. You have a lot of guys in developmental who are there for years and they stagnate. And if you gave them opportunities at the real roster every once in a while to keep them reinvigorated, and it would show them that, hey, look, if you work hard, this is where you're going to go. Unfortunately, every year WWF releases guys who never got an opportunity.
By the way, you may have noticed that Layla has not been on. You know, she is the Divas Champion, and I think it's very strange that it's been weeks now since the Divas Champion has been on the feature show. Do you think there's any truth to the rumor that she and some of the girls like Beth Phoenix are getting quote-unquote punished because the models like Maryse and the Bella Twins have left the company, that Vince is almost kind of ticked off with the division?
You know, I haven't heard anything like that. Layla's been on SmackDown. Anytime you take frustration out on the performer in front of the camera, all it does is hurts your company. It only hurts the performer so much. So, I mean, if you ice your woman's champion, it's just going to make it that much harder when you do want to do something investing with the women's division, which right now is stale. TNA Wrestling. Velvet Sky was recently allowed to have her contract expire. Is this a positive or negative for the company? I've heard reports that Dixie Carter is actually interested in having Velvet Sky back, but as far as her leaving the company, I see it as a positive. I mean, I think that TNA, from what I understand, I've heard from different sources that they're having – that was very Chris Broussard-ish of me to say I have sources. I don't have sources. I just – anyways. Velvet Sky, you know, I mean, she's at a certain level, and I don't feel like her wrestling ever went past a certain level. TNA has a very strong women's division. There's women on the ice like Winter who they're not using at all. And I think it's fine to release someone like Velvet Sky and give her an opportunity to make money on the independent scene.
Well, the way you pose this question, is it a positive or negative for the company? I mean, let's be clear. Similar to the Divas, the Knockouts don't make this company. So the Knockouts are a nice part of their programming, and I think as long as they have a collection of girls that can get them decent matches, the Knockouts will be fine. I feel mixed about this because I thought the Beautiful People were a really cool act that really felt like TNA. You know, Velvet Sky to me was TNA, unlike Winter, unlike Mickie James, that maybe made their stripes somewhere else and then came in. I felt like Velvet Sky kind of belonged to TNA. In that regard, I feel like it's a bit of a negative.
You know, what's interesting is that this past Thursday on Impact, they had a four-way women's match with the Knockouts champion doing commentary, who is Brooke Desmacher, Brooke Adams.
Yep.
In the ring, they had Mickie James, Tara. They also had Gail Kim and Madison Rayne. Madison Rayne is the only TNA quote-unquote original. And I think right there you have a very deep Knockouts division. And I think you have enough to move forward with. A lot of people with a familiarity with the audience and all talented performers. And overall, I think it's a positive in both cases. It's a positive for Velvet Sky because she can call her own shots and team with Angelina and do what she wants. And for TNA, it's okay to move on because they have a talented roster. We see it in sports all the time, David. Nomar Garciaparra got let go from the Boston Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Clemens left the Red Sox. A lot of Red Sox references. Players get let go, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Real quick before we move on, did you feel like there was nothing left for Velvet to do in TNA? They just couldn't book her correctly?
I felt like that, and I felt like her in-ring never progressed to a certain point, and you have a live TV product, and unfortunately, she's a very beautiful, very attractive woman, but on live television, there's a standard, and if she couldn't meet that standard, but she wanted to get compensated for that standard, then the two sides couldn't agree.
By the way, you need to start sharing your sources with me. I don't understand. You got sources I don't know about.
Chavo Guerrero and Wes Briscoe recently made debuts with the company. One is a veteran of the big stage. The other is a son of a WWE Hall of Famer and never made it past WWE developmental. Chavo Guerrero and Wes Briscoe are two very interesting names for me. Have you ever heard any interviews with Chavo Guerrero since he's been released?
No.
I heard one interview he did on another podcast. That was the thing that he was kind of saying, is that I wasn't ever really given the chance. I was put in a program with Sin Cara, and I was clearly better than Sin Cara. And now he's in a company that's going to give him the opportunity to be as good as he can be. And I don't know Chavo personally, and this is going to be a strong statement, but I always felt like he kind of, you know, he was part of that hot tag team with Eddie, and then Eddie broke away, and he was kind of left by the wayside. And I kind of think that bothered him as well. He's getting his opportunity now. Now, Wes Briscoe, he kind of scares me a little bit, because with that last name Briscoe, his father and his uncle being WWE Hall of Famers, he never made it past WWE developmental, and it kind of raises some eyebrows about how he is as a talent. So he's going to be one to watch to see what exactly he's going to bring to the table. What are your thoughts on these two signings, David?
Well, clearly Chavo Guerrero is better than Sin Cara. Certainly in my eyes. I mean, I'm going to go to the mat for that one. I think Sin Cara has been a huge disaster in WWE. I don't even know if it's the good one or the bad one or the third one they're on now. I did notice, by the way, Alex, that there's 13 items for sale on WWEshop.com for Sin Cara, which is just a joke. But I think this is a really, really good signing for TNA. I think he's going to do some inspired things for them. I really like him. By the way, I did see him at an access session. He's a big dude. You know, you think sometimes these guys are like cruiserweights or smaller guys. Chavo Guerrero, he's got some good size to him. I think he can be a really good addition here to TNA. I'm looking forward to seeing what they have planned for him.
You know, what's interesting is when I met Christian, I felt the same way. Christian was giant.
Yeah, and, you know, it is when you meet him at TV sometimes, because they're in the ring with someone else who's big, you may not notice the size. The one thing, you make a great point about Wes Briscoe with the heritage. How did he not get up to the main roster, at least to see if he could work? I mean, it happened with Kurt Hennig's kid. You know, there's a lot of legacy with who WWE does promote. So why didn't he make it? Well, what is your theory on that?
You know, I mean, that's the thing, is that unfortunately, since developmental has moved down to Florida, I mean, you're not hearing that many guys pique people's interest. Dean Ambrose has done it on some level, but then again, we expected Dean Ambrose to be called up all year, and it's August, and he's not been called up. Seth Rollins is still living off his Ring of Honor name, because he's former Ring of Honor champion, as Tyler Black. Mm-hmm. I mean, the developmental process, I mean, I could go on and on about it. I mean, these guys get to sit down to Florida, and, you know, if Wes Briscoe has something, he's going to get an opportunity to show it. If the kid doesn't, then he's going to have the opportunity to show it, too.
Yeah, I think it's interesting whenever we talk about somebody that we normally in the introduction talk about if they had a run in WWE. Or, you know, here like Chavo. Well, he was never really a main eventer in WWE. And then with Briscoe, you know, he never made it up. Are we always going to quantify people by what happened with their relationship or did not happen with their relationship with WWE?
Yes, because it's the major leagues of wrestling. It's the biggest wrestling promotion in the world. And if you can make it there, you can, quote-unquote, make it anywhere. You have a talent like Kurt Angle, who was highly successful and left the company. You have some talent who flamed out WWE and weren't able to make it anywhere else, like a Matt Hardy. So it's the ultimate proving ground. TNA will continue to go live until September. What does this development mean for TNA? I think it's a good development. They're going to continue to go live till September. David, their competition is not going to get any easier on Thursday night. Right now they're going against the Olympics, and then guess what started on Sunday? That's the NFL.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The competition's not going to get any easier. You know, there's a lot of rumors right now that Spike TV, rather, is going to build this Thursday night combat sports block with TNA Impact Live and Bellator Fighting Championship. And it would be really neat for a lot of, you know, this was how the Ultimate Fighting Championship was built. They followed WWE Raw, and they gave the rub to both companies. And I think Spike wants to create that with TNA and Bellator. But them not extending them live throughout the rest of the fall kind of makes you wonder, what exactly is the plan?
Well, the cycle of the year is interesting. I was reading something about WWE, how they really got to make sure they program strong in the summer because they really only have baseball to compete with. So to your point, TNA really needs to keep the train rolling. They're going to have a lot of competition. However, my question kind of back to you is, do you really care when you're watching a wrestling show if it's live or not? So they're going to go until September. So let's say the fall they're doing taped programs again. Will you enjoy them any less?
You know what, I don't think it's as much for the fan because, I mean, this Olympics has shown you, as much as people complain on social media about tape versus live, this Olympics is doing monster ratings.
Yeah, they are.
It's all taped. So ultimately, to the fan, I don't believe live versus tape matters. I'm a big spoiler reader. I'll read spoilers, but by the time I sit down and watch the program, I won't remember what happened. But it seems like to the roster, David, that you've seen a big morale and up boost from the fact they're going live. I think these guys feel like they're in a, you know, they're in a renaissance. Vince Russo held these guys back creatively, and now they're free from the reins. They're free to get booked properly, quote unquote. And I think these guys have shown a resurgence since they've gone live.
Yeah, I can understand the excitement for the performers. That makes a lot of sense. I'm confused, though, why TNA announced the cutoff date. You know, we're going to go live until September. I don't necessarily understand why they had to come out and make that announcement.
You know, I mean, that's Dixie's background is in PR, and maybe she felt like that was the good move to announce that, hey, we are – maybe she's rallying the troops saying, you know what, TNA fans, we're going to really need your support. Maybe it was the first block and something bigger she's building. But you bring up a very interesting point, David.
It's my job.
That I have the sources.
Yes, you do. Till next week. Wild card topic number one. The WWE just released their WrestleMania 29 travel packages, and the prices of those travel packages, including a new VIP package that is going to cost people close to $8,000. Oh my goodness, Alex, has Vince lost his mind, or will they have no trouble selling all those, especially in the New York market?
You know what's interesting is that this past year's WrestleMania was the most fiscally successful WrestleMania they've ever put on when you consider the entire weekend. David, this one's going to blow it away. This one's going to be really big.
Yeah.
Obviously, these Platinum Premier or whatever packages they're called, there's not going to be very many, but it includes a tour of WWE headquarters. Mm-hmm. This is for the ultimate fan that's been waiting their whole life to go to Mania. David, this is going to sell like gangbusters. This Mania is going to be huge.
Shooting for $8,000, I at least get to go out to dinner with Layla.
The diva of your choice, and maybe not only out to dinner. You know what? The price is extravagant, but you get pre-Hall of Fame considerations. You get to meet with legends before Mania, I believe. There's a lot in this package. My wife and I were drooling over it. I mean, for a WWE longtime fan, this is the ultimate in New York City, nonetheless.
Yeah.
This is a big one, and I think it's intelligent that, you know what? You don't do this every year, but this is the year you do it.
Well, also in those VIP packages, I read that there's two VIP signings for the access sessions. In other words, you could choose, I want Shawn Michaels and John Cena, Shawn Michaels and Triple H. So, you know, if there was a major star that you wanted to get their autograph and a picture with, you get two of those, which is actually pretty good. But it's still expensive. But the thing is, you know, are we seeing the pressure here that the WWE being a publicly traded company, they've got to make a profit. So, man, they're really pushing the limits here with some of these pricing packages.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that you got to strike while the iron is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, WrestleMania traveling, this has created quite the thing. We discussed a couple weeks ago that five or six different indie promotions are running shows that weekend.
Yep.
This has turned into a monstrous event. I'm all with it. You know, not only if the WWE is doing well, everyone else is going to do well. Like I said then, I think all these indie companies are going to do well. David, this is an incredible weekend. Can't miss weekend for a wrestling fan. And if you're WWE, you have to do this.
Yeah, but are you excited about Rock Cena 2 if that was the main event? Does that sell tickets?
You know what? That's what's interesting about the beginning of this year, because we don't know if it's going to be Rock Cena 2. You know, I've heard from different websites that potentially there is, which are my sources, different websites. Let's be honest. But I didn't want a Deadspin article to come out about me. But yeah, so I've heard rumors that CM Punk and Rock might be the main event of WrestleMania. They're very open right now with what they can do, and it makes it very, very interesting. But yes, if it's Cena Rock 2, and depending on the build, of course, that's a match definitely I could be interested in. And I'm going live, David, so it's easier to get up for something when you're going live.
Yeah. I just hope we get another 45-minute Undertaker entrance and, like, another hour-and-a-half Undertaker match, and then he goes 21-0 against some guy. I mean, we, you know, ugh, I got to move.
We'll see that. Wild card topic number two. JTG recently expressed frustration over his paychecks over Twitter. Should this kind of information be shared with those on social media? I'm a big proponent of no. You know, wrestlers' pay is one thing, but that's not something you discuss over Twitter. Basically, you're asking for your release doing that, which might be his intention. Saying he's sticking up for all the guys who don't have voices. Those guys are going to have jobs on Monday or whenever they decide to release you, and you won't. It can be extremely frustrating, considering, like I said, WrestleMania was the highest profit. They made the most money that weekend they've ever made on a WrestleMania weekend. So if you're talent and you're expecting a big paycheck and it isn't what you expected, I know that's frustrating. Don't bring that to Twitter, in my opinion, David. What are your thoughts?
You got to be careful with Twitter. You got to be careful with Facebook. Twitter's weird, man. Sometimes these wrestlers break character, and it's really funny. Some of them stay in character. I don't know what to make of it. In this case, the first thing I thought of when I read this was JTG got a WrestleMania payout? I mean, I guess, I don't know, what did he, I can't remember, was he on the Dark Match tag team? I don't even remember. I think he's a quality wrestler, but I don't know if he should be voicing his grievances about not getting a big enough payout. There's probably 10,000 wrestlers that wish they had his job.
There are 10,000-plus wrestlers who wish they could be just JTG because he has a job. Jim Cornette said one time in an interview that a talent scout came down and said, who would you rather be, the next Steve Austin or the next Funaki? And a lot of the guys rose their hand and said the next Funaki. And the guy berated him and said, you don't have it in you. And Jim Cornette said, excuse me, not everyone in here is going to be the next Steve Austin, but there could be a lot of Funakis in here. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with having a job. A lot of people want it. But I can understand why it's frustrating, but you don't bring it to Twitter.
Yeah, well, you know, we had the privilege on CAC Radio of talking recently with Mr. Outrageous Al Burke. And Al Burke, when he was in the WWF at the time, was enhancement talent. There's no way around it. That's what he was. He got squashed every week by the Ultimate Warrior and Big John Studd and Legion of Doom and, you know, Jake Roberts. And he said, God, it was the greatest time of his life, because you went in the ring, you got beat up, you got your paycheck, and then you went to the next town and had a few beers. And who can say they were in the ring with Andre the Giant, with Big John Studd, you know, legends, Alex, right? I mean, there's no shame in that kind of crap. And JTG has had a decent run in WWE. This was not the right venue.
I don't know if the guest you had on your show told you this, but in the 80s, the enhancement talent actually got paid more than the WWF employee talent for those shows, because WWF's opinion was, we put you on TV, we make you a star. Are you familiar with the neighborhood Jason or any of the names that he went by when he was in Ohio Valley or any of his independent names? No. But you're familiar with JTG because they put him on television. They invested on him. Him and his tag team partner, Chad Gaspard, were in SummerSlam wrestling for the tag team titles. You know, I mean, WWE makes you a star, and unfortunately there's nowhere else to go, and they kind of set the rates for these performers. Blast from the past. 20 years ago, SummerSlam 1992 was held in London, England, which is actually the host site for this year's Olympics. Mm-hmm. Logistically, doing a pay-per-view from overseas is very difficult. Though, how cool was it to see a show in an international setting like this?
I thought it was very cool at the time. It was certainly cool in the main event where the British Bulldog beat Shawn Michaels, I believe, for the Intercontinental title. Is that right?
Correct. The world title match was held earlier in the night between Ultimate Warrior and Randy Savage. Mm-hmm.
So that was great. And I thought that was British Bulldog beat Bret Hart.
Yes, correct.
Oh, my God. Sorry about that. So yeah, he beat Bret Hart, and it was an excellent matchup. Very cool to see the enthusiasm of the crowd. I remember even when WrestleMania 6 was in Skydome, I thought that was pretty neat, being in Toronto. But in general, I don't really care. How do you feel about the fact that these shows were overseas?
You know what? I think it's very cool when we see a product from overseas. It makes it feel like you're watching a worldwide product. You get to see fans that aren't in America react to the product because they always react differently. But UFC always sacrifices buys on their pay-per-views when they do it internationally.
Okay.
They hold shows in Brazil. They hold shows in England. Generally, they don't put a lot of it has to do with the media more so in the UFC, because the media isn't able to cover it the same, and a lot of their buys are driven by the media. So it might not affect the World Wrestling Entertainment the same way, but they are big about the spoilers, and the logistically they'd have to hold it at a different time, and I think they've kind of said, we're not going to hold it in England or any other country like that. But I'm a fan of pay-per-views in different locations. I think it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, SummerSlam 92, I remember at the time, thinking, wow, this is very, very, very different, if nothing else. And I liked the enthusiasm of the crowd, and it did seem very different, the fact that it was overseas. You know, the Internet, though, I think has really changed world coverage. I mean, we can see now shows from all over the world, all the indie promotion, you know, New Japan, anything from Mexico. So I thought it was neat 20 years ago. Nowadays, I don't care. I remember you and I were talking about, do we want 2 hours of Raw, 3 hours of Raw, 1 hour of Raw? All I want is good programming. You know, right? Whether it's in London, whether it's, you know, in a small indie promotion, whatever the case may be, wrestling, if it's told right, if the story is told right, can work in any medium.
Absolutely, but I must admit, David, I'm still a mark for when the Raw is done in England and they hold up the British flags. Can you believe, though? I mean, I don't want to make us feel old, but a child that's 18 now, an adult, that pay-per-view happened 2 years before he was born. I mean, I still have vivid memories from that show, but still, I mean, an 18-year-old, that happened 2 years before he was even alive. Wrestling has changed a lot. Do you believe it's changed for the better, for the worse, I guess, overall? That's a hard question to answer.
God, you're making me feel old. I was in college during SummerSlam of 92, and you're talking about when people were born. Well, you know, Alex, I'd love to wrap the show now, but I got to get something off my chest. In fact, when I was thinking about the show tonight, I was going to talk about the quote-unquote greatest Olympian ever, this tag we want to give Michael Phelps. It drives me crazy. Why is he a better Olympian than Carl Lewis or Usain Bolt or Kobe Bryant? They compete in different sports where he can win multiple medals. But what's really on my mind is something I mentioned a few minutes ago about The Undertaker. And I made some kind of a snarky comment about, oh, great, we need another 45-minute, you know, Undertaker entrance, so we don't get a U.S. title match at the next WrestleMania. And I think this streak is just about the dumbest thing in wrestling. They have a whole new Blu-ray out of all 20 matches. The streak would be fabulous if professional wrestling wasn't scripted entertainment. I don't understand the fascination with the fact he's been booked to win every year. I don't get it. It would be much, much, much more interesting if he lost one of these years and came back to avenge it. He should have lost to Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 26, and they should have had the third one at WrestleMania 27, and I would have been passed out of my seat. I would have been so excited.
But you know what, David? I mean, it's all driven by media attention, and it tells a story, and not every story is going to captivate everyone. I mean, currently we have Michael Phelps and his story in the Olympics, and Usain Bolt, and last night Lolo Jones' story happened. And I mean, it takes a bunch of different stories to get people interested, and that's kind of what I referred to earlier. You know, it's good that on Raw to have a Divas match and a tag team match and a singles match, because it's different stories, and you're going to get different people interested in the different stories. I guess it's kind of like different flavors in your ice cream. But you know what? You're in the D.C. area, David.
Mm-hmm.
So this one might be in your backyard. Robert Griffin III talking about media attention is getting a ton of it. He's in Reebok, I believe, ads or Nike ads. If you're a veteran on the Washington Redskins, how do you feel about this? I would be pretty pissed off right now, because this rookie who's not thrown one ball in a preseason or in a regular season game is getting all this attention. Look, I don't think he's going to be better than Andrew Luck 10 years from now, and I'm not seeing Luck everywhere, and it would piss me off if I was a veteran. And honestly, I don't really care to see it. I want to see the guy throw a couple balls, David.
Yeah, and there's a feeling in the NFL you got to earn your stripes. So, you know, he's in a Subway commercial, too, I saw. He's all over. And it's funny you say this is in my backyard. It's literally in my backyard. I live like 2 miles from Redskin Park. And as a Cowboys fan, that's a little weird. But this reminds me, like, if JTG, our buddy we just talked about, if he was, like, the main guy in WrestleMania 29 promos, you know, I'm not sure, you know, CM Punk would love that. So, Robert Griffin III, you are setting yourself up a little bit for the pressure. Boy, you go out the first 3-4 weeks of the season, you don't perform, the Redskins start out 0-4, and a lot of fingers going to be pointing at you, right?
You know what, David? The same media that builds you up is unfortunately going to be the media that's going to tear you down.
Yep.
They're going to hype you up and say how good you were, and then they're going to be the same people to say, you know what, he's not living up to performances. Really early before he's given a chance, David, we see it all the time.
Well, unfortunately, I've been building you up for months, and unfortunately you keep living up to it. I keep trying to tear you down, but it's not working.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Now, don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Also, we'd like to thank Love Seed Mama Jump for the theme song, My Superstar, here at OWW Radio. Thanks to Love Seed Mama Jump. Check them out, loveseed.com. And until next time, I am David.
And this is Alex.
We hope you've enjoyed the program. We'll be back soon with our SummerSlam edition of OWW Radio. All right, well that's okay.